I thank God for what He spoke to our hearts about this morning. And I sense that the Lord has dealt with me about this text for this evening. And I'd like you to stand with me while I read it, beginning in verse number 1. I'll read down through verse number 11. Jeremiah 13, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord unto me, Go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise. Go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass, after many days, that the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. Behold, the girdle was marred, it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, After this manner will I mar the pride of Judah, and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods, to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. Well, I want you all to be afraid tonight. Now, I'm not going to preach on good for nothing tonight. God saved us to be good for something. Now, Israel got to a place where they were good for nothing because they polluted themselves with the people around them. But I want to show you why God said that He saved them. This is why the Lord said that He saved them. And this is basically what I want to preach on tonight is verse number 11. I want to preach on our salvation and its purpose. Why did God save us? And how did God save us? Verse 11 says this, For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord. That they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. As I said, I want to speak on the way God got a hold of us, the way God saved us, and why He saved us. There's a reason why He saved us. And I want to preach on that tonight. I believe that God will help us. He's going to help me. I'm already excited about what I've been studying from this text. God does a work in everybody that He saves. And I'm glad that He's done that work in me. And if you're saved, He's done it in you. Father, I'm asking You now to help us tonight. I'm asking You, Lord, to bind the devil and any influence that he might have on someone's soul tonight. Someone's mind. God, loose people tonight. Break the bind, Lord, that the devil has on them. And Lord, show them the awfulness of their prison. Show them the glory of Your salvation. And draw them to Thyself tonight, I pray. Oh God, might sinners be brought to Thee tonight. Lord, might the saints of God be drawn up closer to You tonight. Help us, God, I pray. Lord, it still boggles my mind that You want me to live by You. That You want me to walk with You. That You want me to follow You and to be close to You. And Father, I pray tonight that You'd show us what we need to see out of this glorious, wonderful text. I'm asking You, God, to give me that unction that I need. Lord, give me that liberty that I need, that preaching liberty. And loose this service, and we'll thank You for it. Thank You for the good songs that we've heard. Lord, how our hearts have been touched already. God, we're asking You to touch us again. We're asking this in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, I do want to deal by way of introduction with this girdle that Jeremiah went to purchase and to wear. Because it's important that you understand what kind of girdle it was. First of all, it says it was a linen girdle. And it means, the word girdle in the Hebrew language means a belt. That's all it means, simply means a belt. I got one on tonight. But my belt is leather. And we don't wear linen belts because we wear a different kind of clothing than they did in the Old Testament. They wore long robes, long garments. And the purpose of the girdle, the purpose of that girdle was when it went cleaved to the loins of that man, it was used for purposes of holding it up while he was running or walking or working. In other words, he would reach down underneath and pull that garment up and stick it in that girdle and hold it in that belt so that it would be like legs and it like breeches, so that he could work, so he wouldn't stumble and fall and hurt himself. And so the girdle was a very important piece of clothing to the man in the Old Testament. But now, in order for Jeremiah to get that, Jeremiah had to purchase it. The Lord said, go and get you a linen girdle. Now, the only way he could have got a linen girdle was to go down somewhere where they make them and buy it. And Jeremiah was kind of a man that he walked in and out amongst the people all the time. So they saw him all the time. They conversed with him. Hey, Brother Charlie, how you doing, brother?
Hey, good to see you.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to go ahead and say hello to you while you come in. They would have seen this new piece of garment that he had on. And then the Lord said, now after you've purchased this garment, I want you to go down and I want you to dig a hole and bury it by the Euphrates, which is a river. I've lived in places, and I've been in places where there's creeks and there's water beds. And you don't have to go too far away from it. In fact, you can go 100 yards away from a riverbed or a creek, dig a hole, and you got all kinds of moisture in the ground. It's just saturated. The ground's saturated. Real close by that river and even quite a ways out. But he said, go down by that Euphrates and dig a hole. So he did. He took that linen girdle down there and he put it in a hole in the rock. And then after many days, the Lord said, now go back and get it. It'd be like me taking my shirt and burying it out in the ground by a river. And then after many days, go out and get it out of that hole of that rock and say, and look at it and say, man, I don't know if I want to ever wear this thing again or not. And then the Lord said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I purchased Israel the same way, and I wore the people close to me the same way, but they've polluted themselves with this that's around them. And I don't really want them close to me anymore because of their pollution. Well, I do know this. God's got a washing machine that'll clean up anything. And what God did for me one day was He washed me.
Yeah.
He cleansed me.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not profitable for nothing anymore.
Right.
You see, there are people in this world that are polluted, like this girdle got polluted. There was a time when there was a freshness and a closeness and a nearness to the things of God, but they've allowed other things to come in and they've polluted their lives. The Lord said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down there and I want you to do this and I want to use this as an example to the people of what the world will do to them. Now, there's a lesson to be learned in this. It's good for us to rub shoulders with one another and stay away from the filth and the pollution of the world. It's a bad place to be, is out in this old world. Love not the world, the Bible says, neither the things that are in the world.
Amen.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's pretty clear language. Brother Shipman talked this morning about sanctification and why we ought to be a sanctified people. God saved us to be different.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, He saved us to live for Him.
Come on, Brother Tim.
And I want to deal with this. God was concerned when they messed up. God's concerned when you mess up. God's concerned when you're plain messed up. He loves you when you're lost, and He loves you when you're saved.
Amen.
That's right.
The thing of it is, He don't love me any more now than He did the day He saved me.
That's right. Yes, glory to God.
And He don't love me less
than
He did the day He saved me.
I'll leave
that. I ain't going to get over that.
Yeah, glory to God.
Now, it might get all over me, but I ain't going to get over it. God saved me with a purpose in mind. Now I want you to look here in verse 11 again, in Jeremiah 13, verse 11. I want you to see that he makes a statement here in verse 11 concerning, well, I'll just read it. It's better to read it. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, So have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah. Now the Lord said, I caused you to cleave to me. I began to do a study, a word study on this caused to cleave. Well, this word caused to cleave is actually one Hebrew word. God is the initiator of salvation. And I got to considering how God caused us to cleave to Him when He saved us, just like He did Israel. Now, if you want to know where I'm getting the analogy from, go with me to Exodus 19. Exodus chapter number 19. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. I'm just kind of laying some groundwork. I'll be preaching in a minute. You may think I'm preaching already, and I am, but I'm just laying a little bit more groundwork. I ain't sweating yet, so I'll be there in a minute.
Amen.
Brother Charlie knows what I'm talking about. Amen. He's been around me. I froth at the mouth. So he knows what I'm talking about. Well, Exodus 19:4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I want to ask you, why did God save Israel? And how did He save them? He brought them to Himself. And God said, just like the girdle cleaves to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah. See, I lived away from God before I was saved.
That's right.
I don't know of a more miserable thing than to not have God.
Yes.
And God began to cause me to cleave to Him.
Yes, He did.
He put me in the situation to where in this world there was nothing there for me anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like He did to Egypt, and to the children of Israel down in Egypt, He destroyed Egypt so that when they left, they didn't care. There was nothing there for them anymore.
Boy,
He so plagued them. And by the way, God is the one that caused it all.
That's right.
And He's saying here, He's reminding them. Well, we need to be reminded that God drew us to Himself.
That's right.
God put the lure of the gospel out in front of us and started dragging it by us.
Yes.
He threw it out again. He brought some old gospel preacher by. He threw it out. And then we saw it go by. And one day we said, I like the way that looks, and we grabbed a hold of it.
Yeah.
And then God used that to draw us to Him.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
He caused it. He threw it out at us. He wanted us. Now I want you to go back with me to John chapter 6, and I want to show you that God has not changed. God has not changed about His people, about what He wants out of us. John chapter 6. I want you to look at some verses with me. John chapter 6, verse number 44. Now the cause was by drawing. God drew the children of Israel out of Egypt unto Himself. You saw that in Exodus 19:4. The purpose that God got them out of Egypt was not just to get them out of the world, but to bring them to Him.
That's right.
And salvation, being saved, is having a personal relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
It's walking with Him. It's talking with Him. It's being with Him.
That's right. Amen, brother. Come on.
And He wants our fellowship.
Yes.
He wants the communion of the Holy Ghost to be special to us.
That's right.
Now it says in John 6, and you're familiar with the verse, but I want us to look at it anyways, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now let's not miss verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God caused something to happen to us. He caused us to hear. He caused us to have an understanding. Then He caused us to learn some things. And when we did, we came to Jesus.
That's right.
God did it by drawing us. He drew us. Just like you did your wife. Somebody you wanted in your life, you began to draw them to you. I say that's what God did. He wanted us in a special way. And He put out that lure. Showed us the love of Christ. Showed us His love for our heart. Showed us our sinfulness.
That's right.
Showed us our wretchedness. We heard, we learned, and then we came.
Amen.
God caused all of it.
Yes.
No man can come to me, Jesus said, except my Father which has sent me, draw him. Now you may not like it, and you may not understand it, but I looked up the word draw. And that word means literally to drag. God got a hold of me and pulled me in because He wanted me that bad.
Yes. You're right.
Man, I could glory in that all night.
That's right. Show him up.
Listen, Paul said in the book of Philippians, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Mm-hmm. You ever heard anybody say on the news, we've apprehended the suspect? We've got him in custody. That word apprehended means to lock up. You know what God did for me one day? The high sheriff of heaven come in and locked me up. He apprehended me.
That's right. Amen, brother. Amen.
I'm not scared of that. Because it's a glorious thing. And He did that for everybody that He saved. Old Testament and New alike. Some folk got the idea that in the Old Testament, God dealt differently with people when He saved them. Why is it then that the Lord said to Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man? That means in the Old Testament the Holy Ghost wrestled and strove with man? Yeah, exactly, just like He does today.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost hemmed men up in the corner and showed them what they needed. But He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And here's the reason for that. He is flesh. And I believe, Brother Shipman, the more flesh we see, the less striving of the Holy Ghost we're going to see.
Yeah.
I remember when people used to shake and quake under the power of God.
That's right.
I saw an elderly lady one night come down to an altar after I'd preached the message. I saw her come down to that altar. She grabbed her friend. She was an old woman. She was in her 70s. She grabbed her friend and literally drug her friend down the aisle. The woman that did the dragging was lost. She grabbed her friend, drug her down the aisle, and she almost threw her at the altar. Then she got down there and she began to tremble. And her friend began to talk to her and she said, just pray for me. And she started praying. I kind of bent my ear over there. I wanted to hear what was going on, and I heard her calling on God about being saved.
Yes.
And I saw God draw that old lady down to that altar. I saw it happen. I saw her wanting God. And I heard her crying out to God. And I saw her trembling under the power of God. Her hands, it wasn't because she was old, because I saw her prior to that. She wasn't shaking like that, and after that she wasn't shaking like that. But while she was praying, her little old hands was just a shaking, and tears are rolling out of her eyes. And she said, oh God, I need you to save me. I listened, I heard, and I said, boy, I can't wait till this is all over, because I can shout a little bit.
Amen. That's right.
She came down there, she was under deep Holy Ghost conviction. She's shaking. She was trembling, begging God to forgive her of her wickedness and her sin. You don't see that much anymore.
No.
You don't see folk under that kind of pressure much anymore. The Holy Ghost wrestles people down just like He always did. That's still His job, to hem us up. God said, I caused it to happen. God's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
If you're saved, God was back of it. Because He wanted you. Just think about that.
That's right.
God wanted you.
Yes.
The president don't want me. And God don't want him either. But anyways, He don't want me. I said it under my breath. I respect the office. I just have a hard time with the officer.
Right.
Sorry. Sorry, I'm right. Well, anyways, God wanted us. He wanted us bad. There's a lot of folk don't want me. There's a lot of folk don't care whether I'm around. But God cares.
Amen.
I got to thinking about it. I got to thinking about one old song I used to love to hear. I used to love to hear it sung. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Then the old chorus would say, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. I like that old song.
Yes.
You know why? Because that's how I want to walk.
That's right.
Do you always, Brother Tim? Not like I should. Neither do you. But God said, as that girdle cleave to the loins of a man, close to that man. So that's where I want you. I saved you to be close to me. That's why I got you. That's why I saved you. That's why I caused you to come, because I wanted you to cleave to me.
Amen. That's right, brother.
My grandma Warren's favorite song was, "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee." God said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Come to me." God said, "I want you close to me. I want you to be close to me." There ain't nothing that'll make a child of God happier than living close to God. There's nothing that'll make a church more praising than living close to God. There's nothing that'll make you sing better than living close to God. There's nothing that'll make you enjoy your Bible more than living close to God. Nothing. God said, I caused this. I brought you to me. To cleave to me. To live close to me. The only thing that will help this camp meeting anymore than the presence of God.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
About 1 hour in the presence of God will change you forever.
Amen. Sure will.
Just a matter of fact, just a few minutes.
Right, brother.
The presence of God will change you forever. God's word says over and over and over and over again, "I want you by me." That's why he calls us his bride. Hello. That's why he calls us his bride. And if you're lost here tonight, the reason that you're here seeking is because God wants you.
Amen.
You wouldn't care any other way. You wouldn't care. You go back in your life, those times you didn't give a care at all whether you knew God. And yet here you are now, seeking the things of God. Now I looked up this word "cause to cleave." And the word "cause to cleave" means to abide fast or close. It means to cling or adhere. To be caught by pursuit. God said, "I ran after you. I pursued you." God said, "I caused you to cleave to me. I pursued you, and I caused you to pursue me." When did you start pursuing God? When did you ever get good and lost and knew you didn't have God and needed God real bad? God said, "I caused it all." I caused it all. I have caused it. I like it. The more I see that, I have caused. When I went to school, there was a class. I can't remember the name of the class now. It was like a biology type situation. It was called, in that class they taught the cause and the effect. That for every cause, there is an effect. It affected me. What God caused.
That's right.
He said, I caused you to pursue me. We didn't want God. There was a time in our life we didn't want God. Oh, we kind of liked the thoughts of what He did at the cross and all that. And that was a nice thing. But we didn't really want God. We liked running our own lives and doing our own thing. But God threw it out there that day. And that sea of life dropped that lure right in front of us and started doing like this. And we went...
Phew! That's right. Amen. Sure did. Amen.
He caused us to pursue His lure.
That's right.
And then He said, I got you now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pull you in.
I'm
going
to bring you in.
I want you. I'm going to put you on my wall as a trophy.
Yeah.
Amen. Hello?
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Hello.
I'm preaching something. I ought to bless you. I ought to bless you if you're saved. That God wanted you. That God wanted me. That God wanted us to live by Him. To follow Him, to be close to Him. He pursued us. He caught us. What blesses me, that's a blessing. It also means, the word cause to cleave also means to be overtaken. Or pursued hard means to stick. I caused you to cleave. I caused you to stick to me. I caused it all. I caused every bit of it. Now I showed you Exodus 19:4 that God bare them on eagle's wings and brought them to Himself. And how that God did the same thing to us in John chapter 6. He literally went out and got us where we were. Jeremiah 31 is another place where Jeremiah talks about this thing about being drawn. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I can't help it that Israel was God's chosen people. I can't help that. All I can do is believe it. And I can't help that I'm part of that today.
That's right. Amen.
And that just as God did it for them, He did it for me.
That's right.
We sing it, all hail the power of Jesus' name. That would be a good one to sing tonight. That would have been a good one. I wasn't thinking about it then. That one verse says, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, you ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all.
That's right.
We're the chosen seed of Israel's race tonight.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3 makes it clear. We are who will believe are the seed of Abraham. We're in Israel's race. We've been ransomed from the fall. Amen.
Amen.
Good. That's good. That's a wonderful truth. And God drew us with loving kindness. He wasn't mean to us. Just because He told us the truth about ourselves didn't make Him mean. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't short with us. He was loving and kind. And drew us. And didn't give up till He got what He wanted. That's just like God. Amen. Sorry you didn't get a nap this afternoon. That's all right. The drawing and the design. Listen, God drew us to live close to Him, and this was His design in it. Look at it with me, if you would, back again in Jeremiah 13:11. Because I want you to see this. I think this is important, Brother Charlie. I believe it's important that you see this tonight. Because it says, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me. How much? The what? The whole? That's everybody that He caused to cleave to Him, right? That ain't... Well, you know, preachers, I can understand why, Brother Tim, I can understand why you act this way, because you're a preacher. I acted this way before I was a preacher. Oh, I was a preacher, but I was a lost preacher. But I'm talking about right after I got saved. I didn't care whether I preached or not. Brother Shipman, I don't know that I ever shared this with you, but I was so glad I was saved. Preaching wasn't even on my mind. I wasn't really... That wasn't really what I was thinking about. was just glad to be saved. And there was days, I don't remember how many days, I think 4 or 5 went by. Preaching wasn't on my mind. I was so happy and so excited I was saved. People didn't look at me as a preacher, they just looked at me as a saved man after I got saved. So I acted this way before I was talked to about preaching. The Lord talked to me about it when I was about 17 years old and I wasn't saved. I know that might sound strange to you, but He talked to me before I was ever saved. I really believe that He let me know that He had a plan for me. But after I got saved, a few days after I got saved, I was sitting at my workplace, and the line, the assembly line I worked at was broke down. Nothing was going by, so I was sitting there reading. I was just minding my own business, and out of nowhere God said, "I want you to preach." I wasn't reading about preaching as far as I remember. I don't remember what I... Do you see that in there? Do you see that? He said, "I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord." The whole house? You say, "Well, Brother Tim, you're saved, but you were saved..." Well, the way you got saved in that thing, I'd be happy about it too. Well, I'd wonder if you got saved, you weren't happy about it. About what God did for you. I'm wondering about you. You say, "Well, you're a different kind of person." Now, wait a minute. God said, "I caused everybody that I saved to cleave to me in the same way."
That's right.
It's not because I'm a preacher that I have to cleave to God more than you do.
That's right, brother.
Hello, listen to me. He said, "I did it to the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah." And I believe that word "whole" is in there to let us know that He saves everybody the same, and He saves everybody for the same purpose.
That's right.
Now there's different calls and there's different gifts, but there's the same purpose in mind. Y'all getting this, ain't you?
Come on.
Say, "Well, what is it? What is His purpose? What is His design?" Well, He caused us all to cleave to Him. And this was His design. He goes on further and He says, "That they might be unto Me for a people." Now, it doesn't say for a person. Here again, He's going further with this by just saying He didn't just do it for you as a person. And you're the only one that knows about it. He said, "I did it that you might be unto Me for a people." Now, I looked up this word "people," and it means a congregated unit, collective troops or attendants, a flock. You see, God saved us to be His people, to be together in this thing. Not to be straining one way and straining another way and pushing this way and pushing that way and one this and one that and one wanting this and the other one wanting that. God said, "I saved you to be unto Me a people, a congregated unit."
That's right.
As troops. One of the things about David's army in the book of Samuel, it says that he had soldiers that knew how to keep rank. What do you mean keep rank? To be in the marching orders going the same way at the same in time with one another. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Everybody, right?
Right, left.
Hey, right, left. Amen. Doing the same thing. God said, "I saved you to be unto Me a people. Unto Me."
Amen.
So our little whims and our little wants and our little ways ain't important. We're a people unto Him.
That's right.
A congregated people. You say, "Well, I'm going to tell you that's Old Testament." Well, let me give you the New Testament verse for it. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." So when God said to the New Testament saints, He said, "I saved you to be a people, a peculiar people, a collective unit, maybe all from different backgrounds, but all wanting the same thing as My people."
Amen.
"Unto Me."
Amen.
That's it. That's the purpose. I believe that's the purpose of the church. To be a people unto God. Unto Him. They said, "Unto Me for a people." And then He said, what's the next one? "For a name." And that word name means a renown, a memorial. That is, God said, when they see you, they ought to think of me. When they see you, they ought to know what kind of God I am. They ought to know my character by your character. You to be a memorial unto me. In other words, that when people see you, it'll point to Him.
That's right.
Not only a name and a people, but a praise. Well, I dealt with this a little bit this morning, didn't I? But unto Him for praise. Well, I looked up the word praise. And the word praise means, by definition, laudation. Well, Brother John, I hate to tell you this, but laudation means, by definition, long and loud. Yes, sir. Laudation. Standing loud and long. Praise. Praise has to do with sometimes getting a little bit beside yourself. For Him, unto Him.
That's right.
People get beside themselves about all kinds of things. Boy, our race car driver won today. I preached in North Carolina in a tent meeting. That Sunday morning, some people were traveling through, and I didn't know who they were. I didn't know them from Adam's house cat. And I got up that morning, and I preached about, there's no God like our God. There's no greater God than our God. And I said, boy, this world's got all kinds of gods. They got Dale Earnhardt, and they got Dale Jarrett, and they got I can't mention very many. I don't know any hardly. But then I mentioned some basketball players. I don't know very many of them except the ones that's on the news once in a while for doing something crazy, and some football players here. And I know a few names. I don't know much about the gods of this world. I named a few, just named a few. When I got done preaching, this woman come up to me. She said, "Now, we really liked your message, but." I said, what'd I say this time? I thought to myself, what'd I say this time? She said, we're going to a race today. That's why we're here. We're heading to a race. We're going to a race. We won't be in church tonight because we're going to go watch Dale Earnhardt race. He's our favorite. And we got a big old number 3 on the back of our van. Did you see it? I said, no, I didn't see it. If I'd have seen it, I probably wouldn't have said nothing. Unto Him for a praise. And all that woman talked about the whole time that we went to the dinner table was how great a man that he is, Dale Earnhardt, and how great of a race car driver he is. And all that's all she talked about. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, I ain't trying to be ugly, but if Dale Earnhardt was the kind of a Christian man you say he is, he wouldn't be racing today. He'd be at church. Well, conversation stopped. What kind of a name are people that are at the race car track on Sunday, or at the swimming pool on Sunday, or at the beach on Sunday, or riding jet skis, or at a golf course watching their favorite golfer play? What kind of a name are they making? They're making a name for their God. Well, what are we doing here today? We're supposed to be making a name for our God. When people see us here, they say, well, them people like church. Amen. Well, they're there all the time. And then they have camp meeting, and they go in the morning, and they go in the afternoon, and they go till midnight, sometimes 1 in the morning. I've seen cars out there. Them people are crazy.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Liking it, too. I wonder how people say they're saved, going to enjoy heaven when they can't enjoy a camp meeting. Amen. Well, heaven ain't going to be nothing but one big camp meeting. We ain't going to be doing nothing up there except praising God like we're doing at camp meeting.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
God said, I saved you for this purpose. He said, I'm telling you, the whole house, everybody that I caused to cleave to me, I saved you to be unto me a people, and to make unto me a name, and to be unto me a praise. Well, that's just for preachers. Sorry, the whole house. You need to underline that in your Bible and circle it and color it in and put stars beside of it. It's for all of us. Uh-huh. One of the main things that's missing today in our church services is worship.
adoring the one that saved them. Adoration. Very little laudation goes to God in our church services. Amen. I'm talking about in the most place. That's why I come to camp meeting. You know why? Because I know things are going to be said about God, and nobody's going to think, well, maybe somebody might, but very few people are going to think I'm crazy. Some might, but very few are going to, because they know what camp meeting's about. A praise. It also means not only laudation, but it means to sing and hymn. You know how you can pray? You know how you praise God? You praise God by singing a hymn. A capital H-I-M. To Him. Amen. A hymn. I've often wondered why they call them a hymn. H-Y-M-N. I don't know where the word came from, but it sounds like hymn to me. It sounds like it's something for Him. That might mean it might mean just a flat out sing. But how do we make ourselves a praise to Him? By laudation, by being loud, standing up and being loud, and by singing a hymn. That's how we make a praise. That's what the word literally means by definition. I can fit there because I've been there. I've done it. If you're saved, you have too. It means also adoration and thanksgiving. That's what that word praise means, thanksgiving. How do people know if you're thankful? Yeah, you talk about it.
That's right.
You're going to be loud about it. People are going to know you love what God's done for you. One way or the other. Before I was preaching in the pulpit, before I was standing in pulpits, after God had saved me, and then He called me to preach, and well, I believe, I ain't going to get into that. All I know is He let me in on it. After He saved me, He let me in on it. He wanted me to preach. He's let me in on it. But even when I wasn't filling pulpits and I wasn't preaching, I wasn't saying anything in the pulpit, people knew where I stood with God. At work, they knew where I stood with God. They'd come down and talk to me. People with a young lady who had problems. She was messing around with a married man. He was my foreman. She came to me one day with big tears in her eyes, and she said, "Preacher," that was a good term to me. She said, "Preacher, I need help." She didn't like what I told her, but she came to me. I told her, "You need to repent, give that man up, and get saved. That's what you need to do." I said, "It ain't right. You ain't supposed to be out there with that married man. You shouldn't be messing with him." And I said, "You need to repent." She stood there and cried. She said, "I just can't give him up." I said, "You come to me for help. I'm going to tell you what's going to help you, young lady. Give that man up. You need Jesus more than you need him." I'm telling you, before I was in the pulpits, before anybody heard me preach, people knew where I stood with God. You know why? Because I wanted people to know that He was my Lord and He was my Savior.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And I didn't have to be standing in the pulpit to let people know that.
That's right.
I got so stirred up with needing to help people, I started a Bible study. And we got in the main aisle. And on the main aisle, we took some boxes and built them up around us. Made us a little room over there, and I got in there with a Bible with them. And there were some fellas come in there that was charismatics, and they wanted to mess things up. And I told them, I said, "Hey, you want to have a Bible study? Go down and start your own. This one's mine." And they kept coming. And they listened to me. And what I'd do is I'd testify about what God had done for me. People would be going up to the cafeteria, and I'd be in there with those men that wanted to be in there, and I'd be preaching to them. I wasn't standing in a pulpit. I'm saying that God wants us to make for Him a name. That's what He said He saved us for. To be unto Him for a name, for a praise, for a people. What's the last one? For a glory. For a glory. The word glory means an ornament or beauty.
Right.
Means majesty. It means to be comely. Means to be honorable. means to honor. So God said, I want you to be unto me for a glory. God said, I want you to be my ornament. I want you to be unto me an honor, majesty. Well, why did God save them? I tell you, He saved them the same reason He saved us. For the same reason. The question is, are we being that? The answer ought to be, yes, we are. Are we? That's the question. Are we? If we're not, are we going to be? Because I want to close with this last part of verse number 11 where it says, but they would not hear. Yeah. Now some might say, well now, Brother Tim, that's good for you. That's good. I'm glad you're the way you are. But I'm just not that way. Well, I'm not chiding you. I'm just telling you, you better hear. This is the reason God brought you to Himself. This is the very reason. And I don't find anywhere where He leaves anybody exempt.
That's right.
I heard a fellow say once about a young lady. She made a profession of faith in meeting where I was. She came up and the preacher did all the talking for her testimony. She got saved and she did this and she did that. And there she stood, saying nothing. And after the service was all over with, I said, Preacher, why didn't you let that young lady tell about what God did for her? He said, well, she's shy. And you know, some people just can't do it because they are embarrassed by it. And I said, Brother, do you believe the whole counsel of God? Do you believe all the Bible's word? Yes, I do. I said, what about that verse that says, whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed? But I know that girl. And I said, I don't care if you know her or not. If she knows God, she ain't supposed to be ashamed of it.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
I don't give nobody's testimony. I got my own. I let them give theirs.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm not, I ain't being ugly about this, but I'm telling you, God did it for the whole house. And He said, I caused the whole house to cleave to me, and I want the whole house of Israel to be these four things. I want them to be unto me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory.
Amen.
He didn't say, this is for this little selected few here, and then this over here, this is for them, and then this over here, this is for them. He said, no, it's for everybody I save. Well, then the question is, are we doing our best to be those things? I found some of them, Brother Shipman, was just automatic after I got saved. I didn't even have to work on them. They worked on me. And I look back, I looked at that text the other day. I was studying that text and looked at it. And I said, man, these things were in my life and I didn't even know God expected it. He worked it in me. They were there. Because that's God's way of saving people. And that's what He puts in them. He puts Himself in them. And His character comes out of them. But He said, but they would not hear. Here's the sad conclusion to this whole thing. There are going to be some folk that just ain't going to hear it. They ain't going to hear it. They're going to push it away. They're going to say, no, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. But God said, I did it for the whole house. It ain't never hurt me. Hurts me when I don't. Tears me up when I ain't what I'm supposed to be. And I worry about folk that can go on and be anything they want to be and say they're saved. I'm scared for them. I worry about them.
Yeah.
I'm concerned for the soul.
Amen. You're right, brother.
Because I believe God has one central reason for saving us. That we should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
And I gladly told people what God did for me. I'm going to close with this because I remember and I recall Dr. Percy Ray saying this when I was lost. He said something that really let me know I was lost. And this is what he said. He said, when I got saved, I was like a little kid with a lollipop. With a great big old lollipop. And he said, I went around like them little kids. Look at my lollipop. Look at my lollipop. He said, you take a child, he said, then you get them a big old lollipop, and they want everybody to see it. And he said, and they enjoy it. And you can see them over there, and they're licking that thing, and he said, they enjoy it. And this is what he said. He said, if what you got when you got saved wasn't like a little kid with a lollipop, you didn't get what I got. And I looked back, and I said, oh, my. I said, oh, my, I ain't got that. I ain't got no lollipop salvation. I didn't want everybody to know when I was 14 years old and I made that profession of faith. I didn't want everybody to know. And that thing hounded me when he said that. And then I thought, and then I put it off and I said, well, that's just him because everybody ain't like him. I found out after God saved me, I was more like that than I thought I ever could be. I wanted everybody to see my lollipop. It was sweet and it was good, and I was glad that God had given it to me.
Amen.
Well, I'm done.
Amen.
But I don't know if God's done. I hope He's talked to you. I hope He's shared with you why He saved you if you're saved. And if you're not saved, what you got to look forward to. It's good to be saved.
Amen.
It's good to say, I want to tell you what God did for me. I want to tell you how God got me to the place where I needed Him more than anything else.
He did it.
I can take you right back probably within 3 or 4 feet of where I knelt beside that couch in that living room. Cried out to God just as an old sinner that needed Him. And He came by and saved me. And I ain't got over it. He caused me to cleave to Him. He caused me to live to where I wanted Him and to know more about Him than anybody else. Father, You know I've done my best tonight to preach what You laid on my heart. Lord, one thing I know and I've learned, but I ain't learned it like I ought to, is that I can't make anybody come to You, but I can share with them who You are and how good You are in such a way that, God, You'll throw the lure out in front of them and say, this is good. This is what You need.
Yes.
This is why I'm saving You. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, You'd destroy Egypt in somebody's life. God, I pray You'd plague their world until there wasn't nothing there for them anymore. God, that You might get them out of that horrible place that they're in.